You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, relationship deal breakers. Or a better way to look at it, the things you do that spoil the mood. Hey, states are starting to go after those weekly fantasy sports games, you know, like DraftKings and FanDuel. Better get in while you can. Is the original Guns N' Roses lineup about to give it another go? And Manny the Movie Guy takes a look deep into the two-headed Hollywood mastermind known as Brangelina. Let's meet the friends. Catching a ride on the wings of progress, it's Chris Martin.
Get ready, Los Angeles. The NFL stadium proposal now has some magical power supporting it.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show when you do that because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not riding a roller coaster in their spare time, when they're working in their spare time, they listen to your comments and they notice your five-star reviews and then they tell everybody else about this program, and that's exactly what you want to happen, isn't it? See, we're on the same page. Let's get started. Thank you, Chris, for being here today. Somebody's got some serious juice behind this NFL in Los Angeles concept. Who is that somebody?
Well, it's a couple of somebodies, actually, Phil. Both San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders are vying for their opportunity to get in on that Los Angeles market, that coveted market that these NFL teams think is just flush with cash.
Yeah, which it is. It is,
right?
Sure.
It's a huge market, and the plan just got a huge boost because Disney's chairman and CEO, Robert Iger, agreed yesterday to oversee the bid process of building a stadium in Carson.
Oversee the process,
which I imagine means sit in as a senior negotiator and someone that's been around the block.
Well, you know what? The guy walks in. Imagine that kind of juice. Hi, I'm Bob Iger. How do you do? You know who
Hi, Bob.
I am. You know who I am, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Of course. All right. So I'd love to oversee this project. I'll just sit around, and as other people are talking from time to time, I might interject my expertise and help you along the way when the negotiation gets tough. And what do you think that's worth?
Just about everything. As a matter of fact, I just took my pants off and my watch and my jacket. You can have all of this. Here's the lease to my car. And
they're paying him something for that, aren't they?
I would imagine. Yeah, he's not doing it for free. He's sitting in as an executive.
Did they go out to seek his assistance, or did he just walk in the door? I oversimplify it, but did he walk in the door and say, "Hi, I'd love to be involved"?
Has to be a combination, Phil, because here's some other interesting facts about this. Iger's contract with Disney is up in 2018, which is really not too far down the road.
Yeah.
And with this deal and him helping negotiate this deal, there's also a possibility of him getting a minority ownership in not just one, but two NFL teams, which we know is pretty lucrative.
Sure it is. And the last time Disney was involved in sports franchises was in the Los Angeles market.
Right.
And in both cases, they I don't want to say they failed miserably, but they didn't do so well, and they sold both properties.
Well, what do you mean?
They sold the Angels, and they sold the Mighty Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
They owned both of those franchises.
Well, maybe they'll do better with football.
Yeah?
Give them a chance.
Hard to screw up with football, isn't it?
It is. Once you have an opportunity, especially in a market like L.A. Although, how many times has there been teams in L.A. and it was screwed up? Whether it was because of Al Davis or whatever
times,
other reasons.
Times are different.
They are, yeah.
You may not remember what things were like here in Los Angeles when the Raiders left. And who left? Who hung out the longest? Was it the Raiders or the Rams? The Rams were in Anaheim at the time. The Raiders left first or last?
Last, right? Weren't the Raiders the last L.A. team?
The Rams left before the Raiders.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it was a different time. Really, it is. And right now, you can show up in Los Angeles and start an Instagram account and make $1 million in a week.
That's right. And then you'll get picked up on the Most Amazing Race.
Yeah, right.
After you do that.
Sure.
Iger, by the way, will be overseeing things like stadium design, fan experience, naming rights, construction operations, da-di-da-di-da. But this is all contingent on NFL owners' approval during their January meeting. All the NFL owners get together and say, all right, are we going to open up the market in L.A.? And if so, who's going there?
Yeah. Wasn't Iger one of those special death blows in Street Fighter 2?
Iger. No, I think that's Ayukin.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Like Ryu.
It wasn't that tall, lanky guy with the long arms, the bald head. It wasn't him. That
decent
wasn't
comparison.
That wasn't the sound he made.
No, that was my favorite player, though. That was Dhalsim.
Oh, you liked him.
He was great, yeah, because he could reach out like 40 feet and punch you in the stomach.
Street Fighter 2. All right. Now, these things are getting more and more popular. Things I refer to are the daily and weekly fantasy sports games. DraftKings, FanDuel, DraftOps, there are probably a few others. DraftKings and FanDuel seem to be the predominant pair of companies. I mean, just tens of millions of people and growing exponentially because you deposit a little money, you get in for a little action, you pay a dollar, you pay $5, $2, whatever it is, you get in on a thing and maybe you win $500, maybe you win $10,000. If you put in a bigger chunk of change, maybe you win $1 million. It's happened. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
But these guys are making a ton of money. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to offer that kind of money. And so it's a game of skill. Isn't that right?
Well, that's what FanDuel and DraftKings are claiming. As a matter of fact, that's the reason FanDuel and DraftKings are allowed to operate today. There was a 2006 court case where they put up the argument that said, hey, fantasy sports is based on skill, not luck, like spinning the roulette wheel over in Vegas, which has a couple of green spots on it and weighs the advantages one direction.
Sure.
But now the New York State Attorney General has issued a cease and desist order to DraftKings and FanDuel. They have to, both companies have to stop accepting bets from New York residents immediately.
Why?
Well, because they say the game is illegal gambling, and it is, in fact, not based on luck. They have some statistics to prove it, like the fact that the top 1% of the people on these fantasy sports websites are the only ones really making money. And New York's big argument, and some of the other states that have already pushed away DraftKings and FanDuel, is if it is, in fact, leading to degenerate gambling, you're actually harming our city and our society by doing it, and that's why it's illegal in the first place. That's why there's not casinos in every single major metropolis.
Yeah, this isn't code for, okay, FanDuel and DraftKings, get some lobbyists together to come and wine and dine and contribute millions of dollars to political causes.
Not in New York's case, no. They have a pretty liberal attorney general who's always fighting for the rights of the people. He's doing this for altruistic reasons. I mean, he does not want to see people lose their families and homes because they can't control their gambling problem.
So fighting for the people, are the people on board with this fight that
no.
he's taken on
no.
on their behalf?
Most of the degenerate gamblers are not. No, are you kidding? It's a huge blow to the industry, by the way. New York is the number one sports betting state. It's like something like 500,000 people daily bet on these DraftKings and FanDuel.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, they're not going down without a fight. They have a chance to appeal. They're going to have to once again revisit their claim and prove that luck is not a factor in fantasy sports.
Let's just see it for a second. I'm going to go to the FanDuel website and see if they have acknowledged the fact that there is some kind of an issue in New York there, because very often they will say, you know, welcome to our folks here.
Well, they did. They issued a statement. They issued a statement to New York sports betting fans saying, hey, don't let your political system take away your right to enjoy fantasy sports.
Hmm.
Write your attorney general. They're trying to cause a groundswell.
Yeah.
From the bettors.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, all right.
The Attorney General, by the way, claims that the sites have seriously misled citizens about prospects of winning and are leading a massive multi-billion dollar scheme intended to evade laws and fleece sports fans all across the country.
Yeah, but aren't there taxes involved? Don't they pay the FanDuel and the DraftKings? Aren't they paying taxes, state taxes, federal taxes? Whatever.
Well, that's a good question, because they're multinational corporation. If they do pay taxes, where are they paying them? Who are they paying them to?
All right, here we go. FanDuel, notice.
Yeah.
This weekend's contests will run as normal with no restriction for New York. FanDuel received a letter from the New York Attorney General, but no action is immediately required. We will alert New York users immediately if there is any change to your ability to play on FanDuel.
And just like anything like this, when someone does it, there's going to be opportunities to appeal. It's going to get tossed around in the court system for a while before you can just reverse a previous ruling.
By the way, you still have some time left to enter FanDuel's $3 million NFL Sunday contest, where there's that much money up for grabs. Only $25 to enter for $3 million.
That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's pretty good winnings. I don't know what the odds are like.
The odds are there's going to be 137,931 people competing.
So you have to beat 138,000 people, and then you can win $25 million or $3 million.
Or whatever the share is. Mm-hmm. Oh, it says 500,000 to the first place person.
Hmm.
The rest is split. So you can. There's a pretty good chance you'll get some of the money. You might get $2 back out of your 25.
Mm.
Sound like a good deal?
It's not bad. I mean, 25 bucks, you're not going to lose your house over that.
Now, for me, that would be totally chance because I have no clue about football players and who to pick.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like going to the races, the horse races, and just picking the shiny horses.
I think what the claim is that there is skill involved, but I mean skill to such a level that it really only allows a few people to have a chance at winning.
I guess so, because some people are freaks about fantasy
ball. That's right, yes.
Absolute freaks. You know who else are freaks? And they were huge in the 80s, and you probably still hum some of their songs today and hear them on the radio. It's Guns N' Roses. And there is a pretty strong rumor out there, and it might be true, that maybe the original members are getting back together. I have some more details for you next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We were talking about the state of New York in the last segment. New York City, at one time, had an official magician on the payroll from the 1930s to the 1950s. His name was Abraham Hurwitz, and his daughter was famous.
Oh, yeah?
His daughter was Sherry Lewis.
Drop the Hurwitz name.
She went on to create Lamb Chops Play Along, and you know her with the little sock puppet. It's a little lamb. Lamb Chop.
She's the one that embedded that song that never ends into my head.
Sherry Lewis. Oh, the song that never ends? Yeah.
It goes on and on, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into it, Phil.
Please.
Last time that happened, I had to go to therapy to get it out.
Yeah. You know, all I have to do is say, "Welcome to the jungle." Mm-hmm. And people will say, "Wow, that's the worst Axl Rose impersonation I've ever heard." But then other people might get that stupid song stuck in their head. It wasn't stupid. It was about as cool and relevant as exciting a song could get in the 1980s when Guns N' Roses broke out onto the scene and became the biggest band ever to sell just millions of records.
Huge.
Yeah. And then they got so big and so weird and started getting bigger than their waist belt. In fact, I think Axl Rose wears Sansa belt pants now. Oh, listen. Oh,
there
gosh.
It is.
See? It's just oozing out of my brain now. All I have to do is pretend to sound like him. There's talk that the classic lineup is getting back together to do some major festivals in the U.S. and Europe and then launch a world tour to mark their 30th anniversary. Now, the source, somebody who should know, says, quote, "Slash and Axl have verbally agreed to get things together again and reform the original band. Live shows is where they can show the world what they had and also make the greatest earnings." Speculation started ramping up again several days ago when the band's official Twitter account posted this ambiguous message. "Whatever happened to no news is good news?" Of course, today everybody's a journalist. If only they could read lips, surely they'll read between the lines, the tweet went on to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't know if this makes things any more concrete, but Brandy Glanville from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills also confirmed it.
Oh, well, it must be true then. Is that where we're going to for our sources now?
Stop laughing, because she's best friends with bassist Duff McKagan's wife.
Okay.
The two of them were drunk outside a cancer benefit last week, and Brandy said,
"Surprise!
Guns N' Roses is coming back, mother effers." That's... outside of a cancer thing, she's drunk and she's swearing and talking about
that's how you punctuate stuff. A sentence.
Yeah.
I'm down. I like it. Guns N' Roses, they've rocked hard for a while.
Yeah, but you know what? It's fine. Go and see them for the nostalgia of it. But if you missed them in the 80s, I'm suggesting that perhaps you missed them.
Don't forget about the early 90s, Phil. They had a decent run going at that time as well.
Okay, fine. You know, a little
Mike would disagree.
Little Phil Hewlett trivia. Back when they were brand new, I introduced them on a stage in two separate occasions.
How did you do it?
You know, I screamed at the crowd and reminded them what city they were in and asked them if they were ready to see the band, and they would only see the band if they got really loud. You know, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. You got to pump them up.
I've got this is my chance to stand on stage for a full 35 seconds.
You're the lead in.
And then I take a little glance at the corner, and the band either gives me the thumbs up or the stretch. And so if the thumbs are up, then I go ahead and I introduce them. With his loud a scream and unintelligible belt as I possibly can, using a microphone where you don't need to scream. The guy with the volume knob at the PA can certainly make me as loud as possible. But still, you have to scream right into the mic so people are pretty sure you're saying Guns N' Roses when you scream it. And then the band comes out and that confirms that's what you said. And then you go away, people forget you, and they see the band.
Did they ask you to stretch, or did you get to bring them on right away? Because weren't they notoriously late, especially at the end of their career?
Guns N' Roses would stretch before I got out onto the stage.
And we're not talking about yoga poses,
right? I would go on the back, talk to the manager, and he'd say, no, not yoga poses. And the manager would say, no, they're not ready yet. Come back in, oh, I don't know, half an hour.
Right. They're still priming the pump.
And the crowd's going... You know, that ambiguous clap that we do when we want something to hurry up.
Yeah, stomp and clap.
Yeah. And then about 5 minutes before people started ripping the upholstery out of the chairs and tossing them onto the stage, that's when the band came out.
Axel comes running out.
Actually, no, they were.
Wipes himself off.
At that stage of the game, they were not late. They were happy to get attention, frankly.
So it was earlier on in their career.
Very early.
They were pretty disillusioned at the end.
Very, very early.
A lot of fans were hurt.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. A little trivia about me, because this show is not about me. It's about you, Chris. Let's find out what else you have going on. Everybody, last week, and we had the story, but we chose not to mention it because we knew everybody else would talk about it. But I'm curious to know. In Seattle, they have that building and a wall where everybody sticks their stinky, saliva-covered, you know, toxic chewing and bubble gum onto a wall in some cases, and like special decorations. And so they have the chewing gum wall, and the city of Seattle said, all right, we're going to scrape all that gum off of there. Did they go through with it?
They did. They did. They spent the money. They got the city workers together. And Seattle has finally cleaned its famous gum wall at Pike's Place Market.
Mm-hmm.
I find this, the whole idea, concept, and all of the pictures just disgusting. I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures, but it's baffling to me that you'd stand within 10 feet of a wall that's covered with gum like that.
Well, what is it? Can you get sick from being there? Is it like full of hepatitis or what?
I mean, it's been in people's mouths and it's gum. I mean, it's a surface that...
Come on.
I don't know, it's a product that just you think would just absorb germs.
Admit it. You know, at some point in your life, you were making out with a young lady and she had some chewing gum and she pushed it into your mouth.
Oh, we used to do that for fun, but there's a difference between that and check this out. It took three city workers 3 days to strip 2,200 pounds of gum.
How many?
2,000. That's over a ton of gum in weight.
Yes.
That has been collecting for over 20 years. So swapping spit with my, you know, middle school sweetheart is a lot different than this wall that has 20 years.
Well, okay, the wall, fine. Do you think it attracted vermin? Were there cockroaches and rats and all that sort of thing? Chewing on the gum?
There weren't any stories about that. You know, the wall was voted the second germiest place on the planet.
Really?
Yeah, you want to guess what number one is? You might be able to guess it. Either one of you guys, Mike, if you have a guess, it's the second germiest behind what?
What
famous landmark?
The public toilet at the Eiffel Tower.
No, next, it's the public toilet at the New York train station. No, it's the Blarney Stone.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
In Ireland.
Everybody kisses it, and then they die.
It's gross. Yeah, you know, this was something over a million pieces of gum, and the Blarney Stones probably had several million people plant their lips on it.
Oh God!
The workers said it smells like a mixture of watermelon, spearmint, and pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say wow. It would get really bad in the summertime because the sun would bake all this gum on the wall. They said you could smell it down the block.
Yeah.
It puts a tingle in my jaw, especially looking at the pictures, because then I picture chewing gum, but then I see this picture. It's just nasty.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, go take a look at the pictures.
Okay. All right, fine.
Some people would stretch their gum out and then make letters out of it on the wall.
Now, what this all really is a fresh start, because people are just going to fill it up again, right?
Yeah, that's, and you know what? Citizens and officials are saying the same thing. They say it's like a living bacteria. People
What's on the other side of the wall?
It's brick.
No. Most what I mean brick. Is what kind of establishment is it?
There's Pike's Place Market. I don't know. I think that
do
it
they
might
sell
be a
fish on the other side?
Seems like it. And there's you line up there for all kinds of different events. I think there's concerts in the areas and stuff too. So people would be stuck in lines along this wall, and then they just start planting their gum on.
Or
the
maybe they're eating fish or crab or something like that, and they've got like seafood in their gum, and they're sticking it on there. Maybe there's pieces of dental work in some of that. You think they collected some precious metals after scraping the wall?
I want to quit thinking about it.
Do you?
Actually, yeah. Right. It's making me queasy.
Hey, you know, we can't stop talking about Manny, the movie guy, and Antonio Banderas. And the reason for that is that he just posted a whole bunch of video of him and Antonio speaking rather delicately about something that Antonio finds very dear and near to his heart. And it might actually be Manny. We hear from him next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. Joining us live is the man, the myth, the legend. He's a man about town, bon vivant. The life of the party, assuming you invite him, and why wouldn't you? KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny, the movie guy.
That's right. Good afternoon. I am always the life of the party.
And always up for a party, aren't you?
I'm always. I'm looking for one. Do you have some this weekend?
Well, yes. We're all going to sit around and put YouTube on the big screen and watch your interviews at MannyTheMovieGuy.com with Antonio Banderas.
With that super sweet Antonio Banderas.
Oh, you guys are getting on, are you?
We are. Hot off the press.
Yes, how about that? So you interviewed him, no doubt, about personal and private matters.
Yes, now in the film, yeah, exactly. I sat down with the cast, and not only did I talk to him, I also talked to the director, Patricia Riggin, Lou Diamond Phillips, Rodrigo Santoro, and they're all amazing.
This is his movie, The 33, right?
For The 33, the director, like I mentioned, her name is Patricia Riggin. She created a hopeful tearjerker that will make you feel for the miners, their families, and the rescuers. This is, of course, it tells a true story of the 33 Chilean miners trapped in the San Jose mine for 69 days. They were buried 2,300 below ground.
Wow.
Antonio Banderas plays the lead as Mario Sepulveda, the reluctant hero who, through sheer optimism, led the miners to salvation. Lou Diamond Phillips is Don Lucho. He's the site foreman who alerted the owners about the mine's poor condition. And there's Rodrigo Santoro as Lawrence Goldborn, the Ministry of Public Works, who was instrumental in saving the miners. Rodrigo Santoro, you may remember, is Xerxes from the 300 movies.
Oh.
This time he removed his gold paint makeup and put on some pants.
Yeah.
And can you remind us who Lou Diamond Phillips is? Where would we remember him from?
Oh, come on. You know Lou Diamond Phillips.
Give me something, though.
La Bamba.
Yes.
That's right.
One. Yep. Stand and Deliver from the 80s.
Yeah. All right.
There you go. Now, The 33 is a little melodramatic, as it should be. It reflects the harrowing experience of the miners, and if there's any ounce of overt dramatism, it's because of the situation.
Yeah.
When the mine collapsed, it's effectively shot, so it's the final rescue that will make you shed a tear or two.
And it opens wide this weekend, doesn't it?
It opens wide tomorrow. That's right, Friday.
All right. Another movie that opens tomorrow, but not in a whole bunch of theaters, but it is notable because of who the directors, the actors, and the producers are. And oh, wait a minute, they're all the same people. The movie's By the Sea.
That's right. It's a vanity project starring the A-list couple Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, written and directed by Jolie, mind you. But what we end up getting is a vain attempt at using celebrity for capital gain.
Wow.
I'm all for slow movies, but man, oh man, this one's slow and moves slower because of the empty plot it has for a film. Brangelina. Do we still call them that, by the way?
Yeah.
Angelina.
Fine, you may.
Okay, good, thank you. Star as a married couple who vacations in France in the 1970s. It's the war of the sexes in Brangelina's world. And supposedly this one was inspired by Angelina's very own parents.
Mm.
Look, Jolie did a great job directing In the Land of Blood and Honey. It's a Serbian movie. Pretty much Serbian all, you know, the whole film is spoken in Serbian. And it was even commendable bringing the true life World War II drama Unbroken to the big screen.
But yeah.
This time, By the Sea is like a downtrodden metaphor about marriage, but it's really a Lifetime movie waiting to happen.
Oh, that's not a good review.
I know. Like the couple, the movie is gorgeous, breathtakingly shot, with languorous shots to heighten the film's languorous pace. I don't think viewers will flock in theaters to see this film. It's better off playing in your small screen as a backdrop during a languorous cold winter day.
You know, I said languorous. Some people will take Angie or Brad fast or slow, regardless. And,
right.
You know, right, and they'll just be okay with that. Now on to other movies. My All-American, that sounds like a sports movie.
Yes, it is. We all love Rudy. We all love Hoosiers.
Yeah.
And now comes My All-American by Angelo Pizzo, the same writer who gave us those much better films. My All-American tells the true story of Coach Darryl Royal, played by Aaron Eckhart. He's considered to be one of the legendary UT Austin football coaches. And since this is a sports movie in the Rudy and Hoosiers category, we have an underdog. This time it's Freddie Steinmark, played by Finn Wittrock. He's an underdog who led his team to a championship season. The end.
Yeah, all right.
Is it any good?
The thing with Rudy and Hoosiers, Pizzo only wrote them. This time he directs My All-American, and it's a bit off, almost like a Hallmark movie with ABC after-school special vibe.
Oh, man.
Bummer. And this Aaron Eckhart, I like him as an actor. It's unfortunate to see him making these selections.
He's still good in this, and it's not any of the actors' fault. I mean, it's you know, if you love sports movie cliches, this one's for you. It may also make you shed a tear or two just like the 30s.
Sounds to me like unless you want to see a bunch of guys praying to the earthworms this weekend, your movies are not doing so great. There is one other. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it's got almost everybody who's a big deal or was a big deal a long time ago in Hollywood. Alan Arkin, John Goodman, Ed Helms, Diane Keaton, and who else? Amanda Seyfried, Marissa Tomei, Olivia Wilde. This is a movie. It's kind of under the radar for me. I didn't know it was there until I kind of looked at what was opening this weekend. It's called Love the Coopers. Do you have any radar on that one at all?
They kind of did it totally under the radar because, I mean, I don't think any of the film critics, you know, at least my fellow film critics were invited.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wait and see what happens on that one.
Yes.
And because it is opening in about 1,200 theaters or
Love
so, so we'll see.
Yeah. It looks like they're going for that Christmas market.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. They always do, right?
Ensemble movies, right?
But you know what? I think it's still going to be, this box office weekend, it's still going to be Spectre and the Peanuts movie and The Martian going at it.
Yeah. You know? All right, fine. So you've been going on a lot of adventures lately.
I do. I have been.
And you're getting used to this now? Did they give you a stipend over there at KMIR-TV in Palm Springs to say, here, every couple of weeks, go on a trip, Manny?
I know, right?
Yeah.
No, seriously, this Monday, I'm so excited. This Monday is very exciting because my mommy from Branson, Missouri.
From Branson?
Is flying this Saturday. It's for her birthday and Thanksgiving. She's going to be with us for 2 weeks. But it's her birthday this Monday, and I'm taking her to the red carpet world premiere of Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2.
Wow. That's
she would
cool.
love that.
Yeah.
And then there's like an after party that we got invited to, so hopefully Jennifer Lawrence will be there.
Cool.
So I can have a picture with Jennifer Lawrence and my mommy.
Yeah.
Hopefully she stays upright.
I know, right?
Keep reading that she keeps like falling over at most
correct.
Of these premieres.
I will teach her how to walk in heels.
Yeah. Branson, Missouri, huh? Something tells me, like, if you went to Branson to go visit your mom, though, the folks that live over there might look at you and say, you ain't from around here.
Well, they all know that.
Okay.
You know what, though? They're all sweet.
Are they?
I love visiting Branson.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It sounds like a party. They have all those theaters. I think one of these days there ought to be a KISS theater at Branson.
Exactly. It's Las Vegas for toothless people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Manny, I was talking to Phil earlier this week. I found it funny. I was reading an article that Universal had pulled Gem and the Holograms out of the theater after only 2 weeks, and the thing was
only
a huge
flop. $2 million.
Yeah, after right. 2 weeks.
It's like a bad thing. I see, you know, instead of like catering to those people who grew up with Gem and the Holograms back in the 80s, I mean, they catered to the kids now who could care less.
Yeah, right.
That's the big problem of that film.
Yeah, kids these days.
I felt bad for the young ladies that were acting in the movie.
I know.
It's probably their first opportunity, and it turns out to be a big flop.
And their last. Oh, well.
Exactly.
That's Hollywood for you.
Mean
That's
but true.
Right.
There's a whole line of clones waiting outside to be in the next movie.
Correct.
You cannot be cloned, Manny the Movie Guy. There's only one of you, and there's a reason for that. Visit the website mannythemovieguy.com. Look at all of his interviews with Antonio Banderas and the rest of the crew from the 33. And we'll talk to you next week, Manny. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Goodbye. Okay. Goodbye. Goodbye. All right, coming up, a relationship expert reviews the top relationship deal breakers and some advice for men and women on the things that you are doing right now that are affecting your significant other's sex drive, and not in a good way. That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. The Wall Street Journal just put out a list of the top deal breakers in dating. Maybe you saw the list. One of them is having a low sex drive.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll kill the deal for you?
Yeah, for a lot of people, yeah.
Well, if you are on the accusing side of that equation, maybe it's something you are doing that is killing the mood. Let's get some advice from a relationship expert, a licensed clinical psychotherapist, and a return guest to the program, Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad you like this topic.
Oh, it's a wonderful topic, because if there's something we can do to make the relationship last, just by tweaking things just a little bit, because sometimes we're unaware. We're not self-aware enough very often to know that we're doing something that is just stinking up the goods. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And what I like about these studies is that so many of them found the same reasons and biggest complaints of men and women. What the article doesn't talk about is what do these top reasons mean? What is the, you know, understanding of them? So you want to go through them?
Yeah, let's do this, because you saw the article. No doubt they consulted you before they wrote it. No, they didn't? Okay,
no,
fine.
They didn't.
They should have.
Thank you.
So what are some of the top deal breakers then in
the
relationship?
Well, interestingly, the top ones were shared by men and women, but let's see what they mean. The number one complaint of both men and women was a person who was disheveled. That means sloppy in appearance, perhaps even not so clean or tidy. So why is that important? I mean, it sounds bad enough. What that is telling you about the person is that perhaps they don't value themselves very well. Their self-esteem and sense of self-worth is pretty low, that they don't even think they deserve to tidy up.
What about that whole slacker chic thing that, you know, people actually, they're being trendy about it, and that's why they are all disheveled looking.
But those people are putting effort into it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, you brought up the second complaint of both men and women. They don't like lazy people. And again, laziness is a signal of procrastination, not knowing who you are, not having a purpose, or on the good side of that, maybe you're just sort of in that process stage of figuring out who you are. So you have to be careful about ruling someone out who may not be, you know, getting going on their life.
Yeah, right. Okay. So people will just leave over things like that rather than talk them out?
Sometimes. You know, people have checklists. And the problem is, people tend to be either too picky or not picky enough. So if you're too picky and you've got this long, you know, checklist, what's really happening is that your checklist is so long and so specific that it protects you from ever putting yourself out there to fall in love.
Oh.
Yeah, you've isolated your list down to Prince or Princess Charming, and that person probably doesn't exist, right? You have to make some concessions.
Of course. And the biggest lie and myth out there is that there's a the one or Mr. Right or Ms. Right. You know, there are lots of Mr. and Ms. Rights out there. And the idea of looking for someone perfect, well, that's a great way to protect your heart, right, from falling into being hurt.
Yeah, right, exactly. I just haven't found him yet.
Yeah,
I haven't found him.
And what about this lie? If it's meant to be, it will just happen.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're saying that you need to be proactive in finding love. Is that right?
Yes, because the earth isn't going to tilt towards you.
Yeah.
What if you find the guy or the gal who has a couple of things that you consider deal breakers, but is it perhaps worth trying to fix somebody?
You know, it depends what the deal breaker is. Obvious ones are abuse, financial fraud, running off with your money, you know, cheating. And sometimes couples can recover from cheating. But yes, some of the things on this list, like disheveled and lazy, those can be addressed. But now we're getting into ones that maybe are good signs to pay attention to, because the next thing on the list that men and women don't like is a very needy person.
Oh, yeah. And that translates into high maintenance, doesn't it?
Very high maintenance. You know, and men get into this situation more often than women do, because men's tendency is to save someone, take care of someone. They really want to, you know, be the hero. And boy, sometimes you can take on a project that is more than you think.
Yeah. Now, who's more shallow about these types of things, men or women?
Well, I would say it's a pretty even match, but what they're shallow about is different. People have asked me, would a man stay in a relationship with a really fantastic-looking woman, even if the relationship weren't so good? And the answer is yes.
No. Now, wait a minute. I'm thinking. Here's, for me, the deal-breaker very often is the voice.
Wow. That sounds kind of shallow, Phil.
It seems like it is, but you know what? If I am physically attracted to a lady, and of course, I've been attracted and attached to the same lady for 4 decades now.
And she has a beautiful voice.
And she does. I love listening to her speak. And so this is all hypothetical, of course, but I see this on TV all the time, and you'll see these women on reality TV, and they're gorgeous on television, right? They were picked because they're easy to look at. But then they start talking, and I think, wow, I can hang with that for maybe a couple of hours. And then all of a sudden the voice is going to become the focus, and that doesn't sound like something I could fix in a couple of weeks either. So
I'm glad that you're saying that, because voice tells you so much about a person. It tells you whether they're demanding, whether they're going to be interrupting you all the time, whether they're too loud, whether there's a, particularly for women, a softness. You know, women have... a lot of women have forgotten the power of being kind and approachable.
Yeah. You know, I will tell you that most of the time, except those, you know, those times when you're in trouble, you've done something that's raised the ire of your spouse. But most of the time, my wife's voice is music to my ears. And I think that's one of the keys to our longevity.
Does she use your middle name when she's getting after you a little bit?
No, she uses a name that probably should be my middle name.
Okay.
No, but fine. We don't have all that many dust-ups. We've been around together for a long time. We've worked a lot of things out, right?
Well, I've been in a long-term marriage also, and happily. And, you know, there are often issues, even in happy couples, that sometimes can't be resolved immediately or as easily. But if you're a team, then you work together as a team, and that is much more important.
Now, my wife is real. She's pretty intelligent. She's smart. I don't know if she's Mensa. She might be somewhere in that range. I'm not a smart guy necessarily. I play one on the radio, but we can carry on conversations about smart things most of the time. I wonder, however, when people get together, initially they're physically attracted and they have a lot of things in common, but one person is clearly smarter than the other person. How often does that become a problem?
Well, research has shown that that is more of a problem for men if their woman partner is smarter than they are.
Oh.
But, you know, I remember reading many, many years ago in Men's Health an article that a man wrote about a bonus that he learned about his new wife, how intelligent she was and how much he liked that. Because when your partner is smart, it gives you a sense that your partner is your wingman or your wingwoman. And that's what you really ideally would like in terms of really being a team. You can rely on this person. You can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry that they're going to mess something up terribly, and you don't have to be a helicopter partner and hover over them all the time. Why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, yeah. How about these May-December relationships? You know, a 50-something-year-old guy going after a young 20-something gal, and when you're 50-something, you've had a lot of life under your belt. You have a lot of experiences, and a lot of things aren't new to you, and maybe it might be difficult to relate once you get past the physicality of the relationship.
Not necessarily. Age is truly not only a state of mind, but it's a state of your maturity levels. There are a lot of people who are in their 50s and 60s who finally matured psychologically and emotionally, and maybe they're better matched with someone younger. So I would never use age in of itself as a deal breaker. There are much more important ones.
Yeah. All right. Give us one, the most important deal breaker that we haven't talked about yet, and then we'll finish this conversation before we have to break up.
Sex, right? Okay. So let's look at what the men and women are saying. In these studies, men said that a woman with a low sex drive was a deal breaker.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they want to have sex.
Because they want to make a connection. It isn't just to have sex. You know, men really do want to fall in love, and they want to have that bonding. So to have that part a problem in the relationship really, really can create problems. Women, on the other hand, report they don't like bad sex.
No.
So what is the slight difference there? What women are saying is sex to them is not just a way of connecting. It's a way of feeling special,
mm-hmm.
loved. And bad sex is often sex that's too quick, not attentive to their needs.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a problem.
And it smells like work.
Yeah, exactly. Not fun anymore.
Wash up a little bit, will you? First, please. Thank you. All right. We always learn something when we have you on the program. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, it's just a pleasure. And all relationships should be wonderful. And if not, they should give you a call. Isn't that correct?
That would be fantastic. I'd be happy to help them. They can go to my website, lovevictory.com.
And we have you linked on our links page. Just look for Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. You are welcome. Have a great weekend with whoever it is you're going to spend it with.
My husband.
Of course. Thank you. And we'll talk to you again soon.
I hope so. Happy holidays to all of you.
Same to you. Thanks. All right. So up next, what are we going to do? We have another hour because this one has come to a close. In fact, one of the things we'll talk about is buying a franchise. Boomers are doing it more and more than ever in history. And is it a good idea? We have a franchise expert with us in the next hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we're working on this hour. Did you see that ad for Bloomingdale's where they recommend slipping something into your female friend's drink? Whoa. Which college majors are most likely to lead to you living in your mom's basement? And should you buy a franchise at this advanced stage of your life? Is it a good idea? We'll hear from an expert a little later in the program. On the show with me today, oh, by the way, I'm Phil Hewlett. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you. It's been a while. We're glad you're here. And Chris Martin is here in the studio with us as well. We'll get things rolling here in the second hour with you, Chris. And everybody's starting to say and feel like maybe this is the last time they're going to see Kobe Bryant play basketball outside of Los Angeles when the team makes its way around to various cities, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, et cetera, et cetera. Is it indeed Kobe's last season?
Just like any of these uber famous athletes that claim that they're going into retirement, you never know until they really hang up the cleats or basketball shoes or
right,
whatever analogy based on the sports. But here's some more evidence that this could be Kobe Bryant's final year and, in fact, his farewell tour. He's reportedly being followed by a full-blown documentary film crew.
Oh.
That apparently he's hired.
They're on his payroll, huh?
I believe so. This is all sort of conjecture still at this point. We know he's being followed by a film crew. We know mm-hmm. it's a documentary film crew.
Yeah.
Who's covering the costs is still, at this point, a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're covering all of his dramatic moments throughout this season. You know, they went to Madison Square Gardens with him, which might be the last time that he was there. They film him every time he sees people from the past mm-hmm. that he may be seeing, not for the last time, but seeing for the last time in a basketball uniform, like Phil Jackson, yep. Derek Fisher, some of these guys.
By the way, there's only one garden.
Madison Square
Garden.
Garden.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just going to say MSG.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's easier because then you can put it on your food.
Yeah, just not. Right. Yes. As long as you're not allergic to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not sure, but it almost sounds like maybe it could be optioned into a reality show. Are they getting a fair amount of video of Kobe's lovely wife? What's her name?
Boy, that's a good question.
Sandra.
What is her name?
Julie.
Very patient, I think, is her name.
Patient. It's yeah. Like, don't...
patient don't, and understanding.
Don't upset me.
If I remember correctly.
Or you'll have to go to the jewelry store again, Kobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's for a reality show. It doesn't... It's not coming off that way. It's probably for a documentary. And
yeah.
What could be a very successful documentary. You put a documentary together properly.
Yeah.
Man, you could sell out a theater with it.
Who's the producer? Ken Burns?
There, I don't know the name. I could look it up, but yeah. somebody with some talent, I'm
yeah.
sure. If
yeah.
it's Kobe Bryant.
Sure.
He made $48 million in the last two seasons. I mean, he's not going to spare any expenses.
Right. Okay.
I do like the idea, too. Or, Phil, more curious.
Oh.
Actually, I'm curious about whether you like the idea of the fact that here's Kobe trying to sort of control his brand, control his name, control his own documentary. Is that a smart business move, or
yeah,
is it a little selfish?
It's smart for Kobe, but I don't know that it's necessarily the best thing for the fans because, oh, by the way, thanks to my wife, Remy, who's listening, as always, Vanessa is Kobe's
yeah, that's
lovely
right.
wife.
I knew it was a V.
Yes, and so usually you want somebody who's not too close to the trees to see the forest to do the documentary, and so an outsider who can be legitimately critical about the topic and objective about the topic. And sometimes we have trouble being objective about ourselves. And all these guys are on Kobe's payroll. And so, yes, sir, we'll make sure that you look as great as possible in this documentary. And it may not be the best for the fans if that's the way it comes out.
Well, good point. May not be the best for the fans, but a financially intelligent decision for
yeah.
Kobe himself.
Right. So there's two right answers in this one.
Season's not off to a great start, by the way. They're like 1-6 or 1-7. But
is Vanessa the executive producer of the...
Good chance of it, yeah.
Right.
She's going to want to be in the cutting room.
Now, what happens if a company sells a birth control pill that essentially gets you pregnant?
Well, you're going to get sued, Phil. It's going to be a problem.
Yes.
More than 100 women from 28 states are suing Qualitist Pharmaceuticals for accidentally mispackaging birth control pills, which is leading to these women getting pregnant.
Yeah. Now, the pills themselves didn't get the ladies pregnant.
No. It's what the pills were actually mispackaged. Now, I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
Birth control pills, first of all, contain estrogen and progesterone mixed with a pill every now and then that's a placebo pill.
Yeah.
And all of these, this cocktail of ingredients, prevent the release of a woman's eggs into the fallopian tubes by sort of fooling the body, making the body think that it had already happened.
Yeah.
Now, this company mistakenly manufactured the package is of these birth control pills with the packages turned 180 degrees. So they're turned backwards the wrong way, leading women to take the placebo pills, which is like the sugar pill that
right.
you're supposed to take after
for 5 days.
After they have already taken effect at the wrong time.
Oh,
you see?
Yeah.
So now
well.
The actual pills with the progesterone and all the stuff that makes you stop dropping eggs no yeah. longer work.
And is there any concern whammo. Then if the ladies are getting pregnant during the placebo days and then they start taking their pill? Because from what I understand, you want to stop taking the pill if you do...
In fact, get pregnant?
Yes, because yeah. the whatever it is that's in the pill could be detrimental to the development of the child.
Which makes sense.
Does it?
You just don't want to be pumping chemicals in your body.
I guess you don't.
You have a living form in
so
there.
So these ladies probably do have a case then, don't they?
Oh, without a doubt. These ladies have a case and they are seeking millions of dollars in damages. Some of these women are even asking for the total cost of raising a child, which you better get a big calculator to figure that one out.
Yeah. Now here's a lawsuit that I understand too on the way. I don't know that there is one yet, but maybe there should be one. And I don't understand, and I'll never understand how giant brands with layers, thousands of layers of bureaucracy and vice presidents and decision makers still manage to let things like this slip through the cracks. Bloomingdale's just released their holiday catalog, which features funny, quote-unquote, captions alongside people modeling clothing that none of us will ever be able to afford, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one page shows a guy staring at a woman while she laughs and talks with someone else, along with the caption that says, quote, spike your best friend's eggnog when they're not looking. Someone posted a picture of the ad on the internet on Tuesday, and people immediately jumped on Bloomingdale's for it, you know, kind of recommending you roofie your female friends.
Yeah, I'm conflicted and confused by this one.
In what way?
Part of me thinks that it's a plant, first of all. That my gut instinct, my radar says this is a plant for Bloomingdale's to get some publicity.
Publicity, because for many of us, we didn't know Bloomingdale's was even a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the only time I know of Bloomingdale's is when I occasionally hear a girl say bloomies, and apparently that's what they're referring to.
Not talking to, like, parachute-style panties?
No, those are bloomers.
Bloomers.
Yeah.
Or granny pants.
But more... Really, in today's, yeah. how sensitive we are with that, for them to put that in the middle of the
But see, it's all okay, and everybody's happy now because Bloomingdale's apologized almost immediately. They say, in reflection of recent feedback, the copy we used in our recent catalog was inappropriate and in poor taste. Bloomingdale's sincerely apologizes for this error in judgment.
All right, well, all is absolved then.
Yes.
If you sincerely apologize, we will forgive you.
So it's still not okay to roofie your friends.
No. Just ask Bill.
All right.
Right?
Yes.
It's not okay. And it doesn't work out in the long run.
Bill Cosby.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking of all the Bills I knew. Wait a minute. They're not him. No, he'd never do it. Oh, yeah, Bill Cosby. We were talking about ladies getting pregnant a moment ago.
We sure were.
The miracle of childbirth can be slightly more disgusting than other types of miracles. Is that a clear and a true statement? But, you know, guys, you've got easy jobs compared to what ladies have to do and what they have to go through. So man up. A woman in Australia recently woke up in the middle of the night after her water broke and knew she couldn't get to the hospital in time. Luckily, her boyfriend was there, but unfortunately, he didn't handle it very well. He, and it's not clear who called the ambulance, but the lady was talking to the dispatcher when he told her to put the boyfriend on the phone so the dispatcher could walk him through the delivery. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't time to get her to the hospital. The boyfriend is now charged with delivering the baby, and the dispatcher is going to talk him through it. As soon as the dispatcher started giving the boyfriend the instructions, the boyfriend said he was too grossed out and thought he might puke. So he handed the phone back to his girlfriend and left the house.
Oh, my God.
He ended up running to get his sister, who lives down the street, and by the time they got back, the baby was already born. And thankfully, the woman and the baby are both fine. But she says it was so scary that she might not want to have any more children. You know what? That's not the conclusion that I might have thought that she'd come to, that she might not want to ever see her baby daddy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy needs to man up. I mean, I'm not a big fan of gross things either, or, you know, medical things.
They are still together, by the way, and they seem to be a happy couple. But, boy, that's a big mark that is probably going to be brought up at holiday parties for a long time.
Mm-hmm. More interesting in that story is that a woman really doesn't need anybody to deliver a baby. Right?
Well, true, yeah.
They can just deliver a baby.
Yes.
That's incredible.
And then you chew off the umbilical cord.
Oh,
and you lick the placenta, right? Isn't that what you do?
Oh, wow.
No, that's what a cow does. Okay, fine.
You just took that down a whole nother road.
I know it. All right, up next, which college majors are the most likely to lead to you living in your mom's basement? Any guesses?
Yes. Journalism.
Oh, man. You might be right. We have that and a whole lot more coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here's the thing. If you've ever been a waiter or a waitress, you always dread the day that you're going to have somebody gives you a bad tip and then they leave you some kind of weird note and it turns into a thing and everybody starts talking about it on the radio. Here you go. A waitress in Ohio got a $0 tip from a couple on Saturday, and the woman who left the tip for the waitress wrote a note to her, quote, "He's my husband, find your own."
Huh.
But the waitress is married and was wearing her wedding ring the entire time. She posted a picture of the receipt on Facebook along with a great rant, but pulled it when it went viral. But anyway, yeah.
So can you give us any of the basics behind the story, or we just know that the wife at the table was upset at the server feeling like she was flirting with her husband?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the husband said something to the wife like, well, our waitress is hot. What do you think? Think she's
hot?
Well,
then why would she take it out on the waitress unless she's psychotic?
Yeah, she could be psychotic. You've never met a psychotic person before?
I have. I tend to meet more psychotic women than men, too. I don't know what it is, but
wow,
the balance seems to be skewed that direction.
I think we have different opinions about what psychosis is as well. Men and women both have different definitions of psychosis.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I agree, yes. Because there's psychosis where you're actually going to, like, harm somebody. But the psychosis I'm talking about is probably, like, emotions like jealousy,
yeah,
like what you would have described
in
that story.
And for women, when they describe a psychosis in men, it has to do very often with, he can't read my thoughts.
Yes, but that's part of the psychosis that I'm talking about in women, you see.
All right, we're screwed either way. We should just stop talking about it before we all have to stand before the firing squad and it's over. Now, the stigma about moving back into your parents' home is fading away. It seems like so many people these days are living with their parents well past their early 20s and in some cases into their 30s. But it's still not the most ideal situation because you want some privacy, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
So it gets less ideal the older you get. Time magazine analyzed census data to figure out which college majors are the most likely to lead people right back to living in their mom's basement at the age of 22 and at the age of 29. These are the two ages they looked at. Criminal justice majors are the most likely to move home right after college. 61% of them live with their parents when they're 22. Criminal justice majors.
Yeah, that was always an interesting choice to me. I had a few friends that were criminal justice majors, and I thought, why are you going down that road?
What do you do with that if you're not in police work or in legal work?
You probably end up filing away paperwork in file cabinets, and you know what I blame it on, Phil?
What?
It's all these CSIs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Crime scene investigation shows on television have all these people thinking they're going to go out and stare at dead bodies every day and chase down serial murderers. And
here's some advice. You get a criminal justice major. I want you to bogey up your resume and say that you were an undersheriff in a couple of different cities, small towns across the United States, and then go to a relatively small town, maybe a little bigger than the small towns, and far enough away to where they can't check. Or they forget to check. And just apply to be deputy sheriff or something like that.
Well, good. That's the right approach. You're talking about building a foundation,
but I'm also talking
smaller markets.
I'm also talking about lying.
Oh, okay, right. So you're encouraging people to sin. I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that's the only way you're going to stay out of your mom's basement with your criminal justice degree.
Mm-hmm. But who doesn't fabricate their resume a little bit?
There are. Okay.
Except for me, of course.
There are seven other majors where at least half of the people move right back home. Education.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that liberal arts degree.
History.
Mm-hmm.
And well, just let's say it specifically, liberal arts and humanities as a degree, because you can get a bachelor's in liberal arts or a bachelor's in humanities.
Right.
Architecture.
Hmm.
Seems to me...
That's surprising.
You could just walk up and down the street and find people who want to have their house added on to and say, okay, fine, I'll draw you up some plans. And then once they like your plans, then you go find somebody to build it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, that's a tougher job than you just explained it, but yeah.
Perhaps, but you got to go do it, you know? Maybe you have to mow their lawn for a couple of weeks first.
That's it, man. Feet to the pavement.
Communications. Medical and health science and services.
Yeah.
Hmm. And physical fitness. Mm. So you can't just end up working at the gym down the street with a physical fitness degree?
I think it's hard to get people to pay for physical fitness.
Yeah.
You feel like you should be able to do it on your own, right?
Yeah. By the way, if you actually went to college and studied hard, engineering majors are the least likely to live at home after college. Only 32% of them move back with their parents because engineers will always be in demand.
Yeah.
And they will more than likely be able to get a job.
Engineers make fun of architects.
Yes, they do.
You know, that's what you see behind the scenes. You get all these mechanical and electrical engineers, structural engineers. Yeah. They go, architect, are you kidding?
We have a newly graduated engineer in the family, and within months of graduating, he got a job with a major company in I believe he's in Chicago. I might be wrong about that, but I think that's where he went.
If you're any good at it, it's a market that is in high demand for sure, just because of the complicated math that goes along with it.
The electrical engineers, the chemical engineers, these guys, yeah, big time. Now, when you get to the age of 29, history majors are the most likely to still be living at home. Psychology and liberal arts and philosophy majors are still living with their parents.
I would have almost blanketed the list on guessing those.
Yeah, and you know what? Those
getting
majors,
them correctly.
The philosophy and the psychology majors, at 29, are probably the most annoying kids to be having in your basement.
Yeah, they're know-it-alls, and they're constantly analyzing everybody every time they walk into the room. And
right.
No wonder they don't have a job. Nobody wants to be around them.
Sure.
Don't sit there and Freudian me every time I come around.
Make some money and contribute to the operation here at home, or don't say anything. We don't need to hear your analyzing analytical snarkiness.
That's right. Sitting in your high and mighty chair,
judging
everybody.
Right. Why don't you clean off that chair every now and then?
Yeah, and get an engineering degree, will you?
All right, or you could be a real man's man and jump in a river after a drowning animal.
This is a story about a man's man, Phil. Wildlife authorities were called to a residential area in Alligator Point, Florida. Interesting name for a city.
Yeah.
Not an alligator, but a 400-pound black bear was caught wandering through the neighborhood, rummaging through garbage cans and, you know, doing what bears do.
Oh, yeah.
Only he was in
the woods.
Caught red pod. Yeah, what they normally do in the woods, he was doing in your garbage cans.
Uh-oh.
So what does the wildlife authorities do? They stuck a dart in the bear to trank it, and then they were going to take it back home and drop it off in the woods. But things went terribly wrong, Phil. The bear jumped into the ocean and started swimming away from shore.
No.
Yes, and quite a ways, too. The bear got about 25 yards out when the dart drugs kicked in, and he started going under.
No.
It's hard to swim when you're all loopy from these drugs.
When you're tranked.
When you're tranked. Then one of the guys jumped into superhero mode, jumped into the water to rescue the big guy, which wasn't easy because while the bear was groggy, he was still awake and quite angry. However, the bear finally passed out, and the man drugged the 400-pound wild animal to the shore, where a local backhoe operator had to be called to lift the beast into the back of a truck.
Backhoe. You know, the other thing, too, about a bear, even though it's tranked, rescuing it out of the ocean, one thing that it remains is 400 pounds.
400 pounds. And imagine trying to grab onto something 400 pounds and swim it 25 yards to shore.
Yeah, I wonder how buoyant a flaccid 400-pound bear is.
I mean, there's still a lot of oxygen in the system, so it's not like it's dead weight. It's not a rock.
Is that the right word to use, flaccid? I meant the whole body, but, you know.
Yeah, flaccid works.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It fits.
Flaccid like a tranked 400-pound black bear.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it works in the innuendo that you're going for, but...
No. All right. Innuendo out the other.
That's it. What do we got coming up?
You ever considered buying a franchise?
Yes, several times. I want to get in the L.A. market in the NFL.
Oh, no, not that kind. I mean like a fast food joint or a post office box shop, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, baby boomers are doing this in growing numbers, but is it really a good idea? We have an expert on franchising joining us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. The average age of someone buying a franchise business has gone from 42 years old in 2008 to 56 years old in 2014. So it begs the question, are franchises really a good idea? Especially at that advanced age. Let's find out from the author of the book, Franchise Savvy, Six Strategies Pros Use to Pick Top Performing Franchises. Tom Skarda, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Great, even better now that you're here. And by the way, just want to let you know, the book is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, and it's a recommended read. Now, why do you think the age is going up for franchisees?
Well, you know, what I hear is with my candidates that I work with is they are getting aged out. You know, with the Great Recession, it turns out that when it comes time to start counting the bean counters get rid of the older folks at the company.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. And so they've got no choices, and it's hard to get a good-paying job, and you have to go and find freelance or consulting jobs or part-time work. Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, that's what happens. And what it is it's really the end of the baby boomer generation that's getting laid off, and they're too young to retire and too young to collect their pension and Social Security. So they're really stuck. They have to kind of get through another, you know, whatever it is, 5 to 10 years or so, and it's really, really stressful.
So I got to figure out some way to open up a yogurt shop, a frozen yogurt shop. Now, let's reel this back a little bit, and I think it's important that we explain what a franchise is and what some of the most popular franchises are. Go ahead.
Well, that's great. You know, the thing that's interesting to note is that there's more than 3,500 franchises in 90 different industries. 89 have nothing to do with food, which is always top of mind when you say franchising.
Sure, yeah.
So there's so many things that you could get into that you would have never thought about in a million years. So it becomes very interesting as I try to fit people into, you know, I put the people's kind of skills together as like a puzzle for me, and then I try to transfer their skill set into a franchise opportunity. So
right. Now, generally speaking, don't you have to have a nice chunk of change and a good-looking net worth to buy a franchise?
Well, you know, I guess that's subjective, right? So most people think that you really do need $1 million, and if you're going to open up a McDonald's or something like that, you do need $1 million. But there's so many franchises that you can open up for way under $100,000, and that gives you, you know, living money as well as you kind of build up your franchise. So, the cool opportunities.
So how does it work then? How is a gross profit dollar sliced up in a franchise?
Well, you know, great question. And, you know, you start with your top line. You bring in whatever your gross income is, and then a royalty comes off the top. Before anybody gets paid, the franchise company gets a piece of that action, and that is kind of the way franchising works. And
yeah, well percentage-wise, I mean, what's the range? What can you expect the royalty to be, generally speaking?
Yes, and on average across franchising, it's 7% of gross.
Well, that's not bad.
Mm-mm.
I was thinking double digits, maybe 18, 19, 20%, but only 7. Well, that's good.
Yeah, seven is average. You can do a little bit less, a little bit more, but 7 is average.
Okay, and then the franchise company requires you to do marketing. Now, is that then? Do you add that on top of the 7%?
So that I actually include that. There's usually like a 2% marketing fee.
Okay.
So it's really 5 plus 2.
Oh, so that's included. Well, that's good to know. Now you're dealing with 93% of your dollar.
Right, and then you have to, you know, pay your staff. You're going to have some staff. And that's the thing about franchising is that you're really, you know, you're creating jobs. I mean, the typical franchise, when it opens, will create an average of about 20 jobs.
Yeah.
Community.
So what's the rule of thumb? You want to take about 40% of your dollar to pay on employee cost. Is that about right?
That might be a bit high, but maybe I'll call it 25%.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm a generous boss.
Yeah, well... 25% for your going off the top to the employees,
yeah.
is what I meant.
Okay.
And then you have, depending on the franchise, your cost of goods, and then your rent, although you could be in a franchise that doesn't have overhead such as rent and electric, where you operate it out of a home office.
Sure, okay, fine. Yeah. And then you just have shipping and storage costs, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you boil it all down, it really varies by industry how much you want to keep. I mean, that's kind of the driving question that everybody has is, okay, how much money am I going to make?
Yeah, well, that's the question, right?
Yeah, and it varies. And, you know, you could go to, you know, when you're looking at food, for instance, that has a very low profit margin where you're working at, you know, like McDonald's works at a very low, about 4 or 5% is all they keep after all is said.
Oh, and that is scary because you could have some unexpected costs for whatever reason, you know, natural or man-made interruptions in the process of making money. And 4% is not a lot of wiggle room.
It's not a lot at all. And so that's, you know, it's a very tight margin. And, you know, then you could get into other businesses where you can see, you know, upwards of 20%, you know, take home and even higher than that. And again, you just got to know what industries to look at.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I come in, I guess.
Right, and so you consult people then, based on what their net worth and their interests and their skill set, and you direct them to something that makes the most sense. Now, to me, I wouldn't want to hire a whole bunch of employees, maybe 4 or 5 people, and the whole thing doing it out of the house sounds good to me, but I might need some storage space, depending on what it is. Give us an example of a popular, but not real expensive to get into, non-food-oriented franchise.
Non-food, you know, I guess one of the biggest moving franchises right now, what a lot of people are getting into, is health and fitness, so gyms. The little kind of boutique gyms that are group fitness, whether it's indoor cycling or, you know, kickboxing, things like that, very popular, and they, you know, they make really good money, actually. The margins are very good in those kinds of.
Because people sign up, and then they forget to go.
Well, that, you know, that's part of it in some cases.
Yeah.
But even in some that, you know, really get their people to come in and lose weight and get in shape, even with that, they're really doing well because you have one person teaching 30 people for an hour. You know, the math works very nicely in that situation.
Yeah, understood. Okay, fine. So the overarching question that we started with in this conversation is, for baby boomers in their 50s, is franchising, buying a franchise, a good idea?
Well, I you know, self-serving, I think it's a wonderful idea, but for the right person. it's not for everyone. Some people need to just, you know, get that job and have that, you know, secure paycheck or the illusion of a secure paycheck.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about it for a baby boomer is that typically you're going to run a franchise on average about 7 years is usually what the lifespan is on average. And it's interesting because as a baby boomer, that's just, you know, after about 5 to 10 years, you're ready to retire anyway. And then if you're doing really well and you really follow the instructions and did everything they told you to do, you should be able to sell it for 3 times what you bought it for.
Yeah, that's the end game. That is it right there. And then you go and you buy 5 more franchises.
Well, hopefully you don't. If you're 60 or 65, maybe you could cash it out and go to Mexico.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, buy a little shack on the beach in Mexico and live out the rest of your life. Beautiful. The book is called Franchise Savvy, 6 strategies pros use to pick top-performing franchises. Tom Scarda, he's one of those pros. He'll tell you which one to get. And the book is in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And do you have a website as well, Tom?
Yeah, it's thefranchiseacademy.com is the best thing to check out.
Thefranchiseacademy.com. We'll add that to our links page. Thank you so much for being on the program, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, Phil. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Talk to you soon. And so up next, among other things, if you're a dad and you have a princess for a daughter, we found a dad that will absolutely put you to shame. In fact, you should just hang up your boots and quit being your princess's dad because you're not worthy anymore. No, there's nothing you can do to match what this dad is doing in the name of love for his daughter. You'll hear about it next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You know who Pixar is, right? The animation company?
Oh, that Pixar.
And you've seen the movie Up, right? Up?
That's Up. The one with the old man whose house floats away?
Yes, exactly.
I have seen that.
Pixar animated 10,297 balloons to carry the house in that movie Up. Even the balloons that were inside of the giant bunch, you know, the balloons that you can't see. You can only see the balloons on the outside of the bunch, but they animated the balloons on the inside as well.
That's what you have to do.
10,297 balloons, all animated, even though you can only see about 50 of them.
You have to create the layering so you get the 3D effect, right?
Those guys are the real deal over there.
It's unbelievable. I once had to animate 99 Loof balloons.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow.
It was not easy.
Chris Nana Wilson. Wilson. What's your last name?
Martin.
Martin.
Yeah.
Who's Chris
How
Wilson?
Can you forget that?
I don't know. I'm Phil Franklin, and you're listening to the... Wait a minute.
Phil Franklin, is that your middle name?
Can we fix this
Is that
later?
What your wife says when Can you get we... in trouble?
Yes. She calls me by...
Phil other... Franklin Hewlett.
Sometimes she yells out other guys' names.
Thought I... Oh, well, that's... We need to get the love relationship doctor back on the phone.
See, I'm just tempering. In the first hour of the show, I said that she was near Mensa and her voice was music to my ears.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm saying that she's calling out other guys' names. Am I a complete idiot?
No. No, not at all.
Because I'm ruining
a You're
good
a radio
thing.
Host who's in here extemporaneously trying to make some magic happen.
I get the useful and critical information when I get home about things that I could have done better on the program. And I become a better talk show host in my mind for the next 10, 15 minutes. And then when I put it into action here on the program, I step in it every time.
It all just falls apart.
Of course. Mm. Of course. Now, I am a dad. I have 3 princesses. I have three daughters. They're all lovely, and I'd love to give them the world. If I could give them the world in a thimble, I would do that. Some guys have the means to buy the world and say, here, daughter, it's yours. You are now official benevolent ruler of the world. I purchased it for you, and it's your title. Here's your piece of paper. Go ahead. It's right. All yours. I had the cash. I bought it.
Do something productive with it.
I can't do that.
No, very few people can, but I'll tell you who can and did. A very rich Hong Kong tycoon bought a 12-carat blue diamond ring for a record $48.5 million and then mounted it. Oh, so I said diamond, right?
Yes,
diamond ring.
Blue
yes.
Diamond.
So had it mounted. Blue diamond, had it mounted. Gave it to a 7-year-old daughter.
Seven-year-old
daughter. What does she know what to do with $50 million on her finger?
I don't know, but if I've got a 7-year-old son or daughter who goes to the same school as that guy's daughter, I am giving them a gift on their birthday.
With something to rob the other child
a machete,
of their ring.
A yeah. machete. You just go to school with that machete, hack off the arm, and bring it home to daddy. That's all I ask. If they catch you on the way, it's a manageable risk.
Yes. It's a $48.5 million risk.
Yes.
You're willing to take with your children.
I think so, of course.
The purchase set a world auction record for any diamond of any color. He bought it at an auction.
He was sitting there with a 7-year-old daughter, gave her the card, and every time they said, hey, and then she kept sticking her hand up in the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my... That was my auctioneer voice.
You now try it again in Hong Kongese.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Hong
well
Kongese.
Done, then.
Didn't know I spoke Hong Kongese.
The man named the diamond the Blue Moon of Josephine after his daughter.
Josephine. Queen Josephine.
I don't think she's going to be wearing it for long. I hope he takes it off her finger and puts it in a case very
she's
soon.
She's probably not strong enough to hold up her arm while
surrounds
wearing
that. Surrounds it with lasers and
Are you
protective
me?
Devices.
7-year-old daughter. See, I'm not worthy. I'm ashamed to be a dad to daughters now after that story.
You shouldn't be. That's irresponsible money spending.
You think so?
$48.5 million on a blue rock.
Here's something I don't understand, Chris.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's conventional wisdom you should probably just avoid eating garlic if you're going to be hitting on women. Isn't that right? You
Agreed.
Know better.
Yeah, garlic, onions.
Ignore that. Stock up on gum and then go crazy on the garlic, because even though it's disastrous for your breath, apparently it's amazing for your sweat.
I don't agree.
New study out of the University of Stirling in Scotland and Charles University in the Czech Republic, where people sweat profusely, they found that the more garlic men ate, the more attractive they smelled to women.
Hmm.
Women rated them higher in four categories when they'd eaten at least 4 cloves of garlic.
Oh, 4 cloves?
4 cloves.
A lot of garlic.
Here are the 4 categories. Pleasantness, attractiveness, masculinity, and intensity.
Oh.
The researchers say it could be because garlic has so many antibiotic properties, women have evolved to like the smell of garlic and sweat since it's a sign a guy is healthy.
Yeah. Well, there is something to be said for a nice gleam of sweat and the smell that comes
the garlic
from it,
affects
the
my sinuses, and you know, for a lot of people, they eat the garlic and they get that garlic metallic kind of breath. You know, it'll knock you down.
It's powerful.
It'll burn the hair right off of your eyebrows.
And it's tough to eat. Also, I mean, how do you eat 4 cloves of garlic?
Well, you mix it in with your food. You don't just eat it like an apple,
which makes the food very potent as well and difficult to choke down.
You don't like a little garlic in
garlic
your,
is
in
all
your
right.
pasta?
I do like garlic. I do like a little bit of garlic.
Yeah.
4 cloves seems like a lot.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned The Amazing Race, and just in passing, as though people knew what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. I do that sometimes.
Yeah, but people did not know what we were talking about. So let me clue people in. CBS and the producers of that show, amazingly popular show, The Amazing Race, one of the best produced and most awarded reality shows, they're going to try something different next season, and perhaps they'll jump the shark. Perhaps it'll be their biggest season ever. Who knows? We won't know till it happens. But they announced yesterday that all of the contestants on the next season of The Amazing Race will be YouTube, Vine, and Instagram celebrities.
Huh.
The one you might recognize if you're into this is Tyler Oakley, who's teaming up with his friend, Corey Cool. You might also know Zach King, who uses special effects to do magic tricks on Vine. He's competing with his wife. Cole LeBrant, who has 6.5 million Vine followers. He'll be competing with his mom. And Blair Fowler, who posted beauty and fashion videos on YouTube. She's competing with her dad.
Never heard of any of those people.
Me neither. Season 28 doesn't premiere until February, but host Phil Kogan is live streaming the first leg of the thing right now. Hold on a second. I've got more information on it, but I may have lost it. No, I don't have the last page. So
it's a genius
sorry.
Marketing strategy, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
You pull in these people. Each of them have 6 to 10 million followers on whatever social networking site they're famous for, and then, bang, they bring that to the television set.
Well, for me, I could care less, and so we'll see what happens. I think a lot of people could care less. Perhaps the folks who watch The Amazing Race could care less. But you're right. I think they're going to bring in millions of people that wouldn't otherwise watch the show.
So you lose a million, but you gain three. All of a sudden,
collateral damage.
Mathematically, that's a win for the station.
Got to chop off some branches to keep your tree healthy.
Hey, sometimes you got to chop off an arm to get a blue diamond. You know?
Correct. Okay, who's remember who's old? Do we have time for this? We're all old. You have to throw the music on real quick. Not the closing music. You don't have time. You can't do it. The guy that got a birthday. Can you just hit a? Keep on rocking the free world. Is that enough? You know who that is?
I know who it is.
Who is it?
That's Neil Young, my friend.
Right. He's old, man.
He is old, man. He's 70 years old today.
Do you think he's rusting? He's not. He's certainly not.
I see the guy everywhere. He seems to be full of energy. You hear him doing all kinds of interviews. He's back in this Sonos product, this music player product.
Yeah.
Hey, the guy still seems to have a lot of energy and 70, vigor in his
70.
Life.
Old man, take a look at my life.
Gives you hope, doesn't it?
I'm about as old as you were.
Gives us all hope.
Yeah.
70 years old, still running around like that?
Yeah. It's not fading away, is he?
My guy must eat at least 4 loaves of cloves of garlic a day.
He might have garlic loaves as well growing off of his body. You never know. Hey, that's it for the program today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate your comments. If you go to the website, philhewlettandfriends.com, click on the contact, and then in there, there's a little form you can fill out. Also, the easy way, you can go to Twitter, find us at Faf Show. We're on Facebook as well, the name of the show. You could find us. We're all over the place, anywhere where you can listen to a podcast. Subscribe to the show so you never miss a single thing. Thank you for that. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who apparently was way too busy to be here today, and so fine. Our theme song is performed and composed by Russ Monson. For Chris and all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.